Coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
And welcome to this edition of the Hagman Report. It is Tuesday, November 21st, 2023. It's hard to believe that 60 years ago tomorrow, 60 years, think about that, the assassination of President Kennedy. I remember when it was the 50 years after the assassination. Eric the Tech, myself, we were in Dallas. It was about, I don't know, seven years ago, something like that.
Not on that day either.
No, not on that day. But we were able to take a look at different things.
How old were you?
How old was I? I was 10. No. You mean for the assassination?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. I was young. But I have to say this. I remember. Specifically, I remember that day, and the what I do remember being very young was the constant television coverage, and I believe I might have even asked my mother at the time, how many times are they going to shoot him? Because the same or Oswald, I referenced Oswald in that case. How many times are they going to shoot him? And but think about it. 60 years, we still don't have all the facts. We need to do. I believe we need to do a show on that, because the very people who were behind that, the same type of people, of course, are the same people who are engaged in the activity that we see today. Before I get to my guest, Stan Dale from standale.com, I do want to mention this. I want to thank everyone for their support, your support. Thank you so very much. Tomorrow we're going to have a normal show. It's going to be recorded early. And then, as I mentioned earlier, my wife's going to have surgery tomorrow. And I appreciate your prayers. Thank you so much for your comments on the Unrumble and for your emails. And then I will be back on Monday. But I do need to spend some time, obviously, over the holiday, Thanksgiving Day weekend, as she recovers. Hopefully we can get her back by Thursday, Friday, something like that. And then Friday anyway. And then get her 100% after that. But I want to thank you for your prayers and thoughts. I also want to thank our sponsors, too. You know, one of the sponsors, I just love this product. I really do. Hang on. See, it's right here. Okay. I put this in my juice every morning and every night, scoop. It's collagen, five different kinds. I'm telling you, this stuff really, really works. It trims your excess belly fat. I'm telling you, it works for me. And there's my copy right there. Isn't that interesting? Folks, excess belly fat's been deemed the most dangerous fat. It's of all the fat to have, that's the worst kind, because it's linked to so many health issues. Interestingly enough, you know how you have pear and apple-shaped bodies? Well, when you've got large waistlines, specifically, we are at a higher risk, if you're one of them, for health issues than other body types. And this has essentially because excess belly fat grows deep in the abdominal cavity, presses on other organs. I'm going to have the surgeon take some photographs of my wife. Not that she's got excess belly fat, but just to show where the organ placement is. Is that okay to do, you think? No, never mind. That's tasteless. But this is a big reason. Seriously, this is a big reason. Myself, Eric the Tech, my entire family, And so many other people are turning to this amazing new substance, which is thoughtfully formulated. And that's the key. The formulation behind this is the key. Science-backed ingredients provided by Mother Earth that promote reduced fat storage. It helps to speed up the breakdown of fat, support weight management, reduce cravings, and boost metabolism. I'm telling you, that's the way it does. I can almost feel the difference. Simply take a serving each morning, another serving in the evening. Give your body the nutrients it needs to help supercharge your weight management efforts. And the best part I like about this as well, you can get over half off right now until as supplies last. This supply is the supply lasts. And you'll get special gifts, additional gifts valued over $500 free with every order. Plus, there's free shipping. Folks, the extra stuff you get, fabulous. Two free ebooks, top 10 foods that burn belly fat, top 8 exercises to reduce belly fat. I watched it. I got to tell you something. Two of them I did not think had any correlation to the stomach issues, but they do. Folks, go to trimwithdoug.com. That's trimwithdoug.com. 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 Do it today. I'm telling you, there's a money-back guarantee. There's a 60-day money-back guarantee. And if you don't see results, Eric the Tech, what? Huh? Well, I didn't hear you. No, he said just be quiet and keep going. Yeah, there's a 60-day money-back guarantee that really, to me, that if you have to use it, you're eating too much pizza and drinking too much beer otherwise, I think. But and one other thing, for every order that they make, and this is something that I think is fabulous, they donated a nutritious meal to a hungry child in your honor through our partnership with NoKidHungry.org. And to date, BioTrust has provided over 5 million meals to hungry children. So please help BioTrust hit their goal of 6 million meals this year. Y'all can do it. All right, Standale, Standale.com, a lot of news to get into. I asked what his focus was, and something very interesting, something I was thinking about, and I'm going to let him go. I'm going to let him rip the rest of this hour. Something I was thinking about, everything that's going on here domestically and everything that's going on in the Middle East, you're looking, I think, at a convergence of events. I really want you to take a look at what the Christian Bible says about current events. Pick up a newspaper if you can afford to buy one, or look online at the headlines and compare the two. So with that, Standale, and no interruptions, Standale from Standale.com, EMP Shield as well. Make sure you have an EMP Shield. Hey, Christmas is coming up. Fantastic Christmas gift, EMP Shield. Folks, get EMP protection. Go to EMPShield.com. Use the code Hagman for $50 off. You know, that comes out of my pocket, right? I got $50 here, $50 there, adds up. But no, seriously, $50 off. Plus, if you buy in bulk, you even get a better price. So I can't think of a better Christmas gift than an EMP shield for your car, for your home, for your boat, for your business. Hey. Just for your peace of mind. That's empshield.com. Stan, go for it.
Okay. Yes, the Middle East is kind of the elephant in the room at the moment. And there's been a lot of behind-the-scenes work going on to prepare this situation between Israel, Saudi Arabia, and 40 other Arab nations. While we've been kind of asleep here in the Western world, the Prince of Saudi Arabia, Mohammed bin Salman, has been organizing an army of 41 Islamic nations, and there's more gaining on it.
Yeah.
Now, On my show images page, there is a link. Let me just see if I've got it. Okay, on slide 56, the Islamic Military Counterterrorism Coalition, the IMTC or CTC. Now, when you click on that, on the number there or on the letters, it'll take you to a Wikipedia thing about Islamic Military Counterterrorism Coalition. Now, Mohammed bin Salman got all these Islamic nations together, including Pakistan now, and he formed a military division of it, which is run by a Pakistani general. Their view of terrorists are those who, go against Islam and Islamic countries and cause them problems. Well, that includes Satan and little Satan, America and Israel. Now, because of this, they've been secretly, or kind of not out in the open, forming a coalition to go against us and Israel. This situation with the Gazans has given this organization and the organizer of it, Mohammed bin Salman, the opportunity to counter terrorism in the eyes of the world and be justified for what they do. Now, there is a plan. Mohammed bin Salman knows about it, and so does Jared Kushner, President Trump's son-in-law. And what they are saying is we will take care of the Gaza situation. We'll make a two-state solution, and we'll get rid of the Hamas because they're terrorists, and then we'll get money, several billion dollars into Gaza to rebuild the Palestinian community and set up a government that is not Hamas or terrorism of any sort. Now, when this happens, Mohammed bin Salman is going to be hailed worldwide as a very wise and wonderful person, because he has the military might with all these nations to enforce the block of terrorism in Gaza. There's going to be a much bigger problem in Iran, because they're going to have a nuke and they're going to go after Israel. But because he has made this solution and guaranteed peace in Israel from the Gazans, the Hamas in Gaza, he's coming to power in the Middle East with the help of a small people, as the scripture says the Antichrist will do. A small people, not a small nation, a small people that he will then make a nation as part of the solution to the Middle East. So we're seeing prophecy being fulfilled. It's been kind of sneaking up on us. I almost wanted to call this this episode here "While You Slept," meaning you missed all this that Mohammed bin Salman and the Arab nations have been doing together. We're being set up for the Antichrist to take over. An interesting discussion.
Can I ask? I know. How long do you think we have? I know people ask you that all the time, but we're being set up for what you just said. We're being set up for the Antichrist takeover. How long do you think we have?
See my watch there? Minutes.
Minutes. I mean, okay.
No, I don't know. It's soon.
Soon, right? I mean, yeah, relatively soon. Okay, that's what I thought. Go on, sir.
All right. Well, now, see, these 41 nations, if you click on my show image page on image 58, it says the IMCTC, Islamic Military Counterterrorism Coalition, and that gives you a list of the countries that are now involved in that. I mean, Iran, I don't see it in that at the moment, but Bahrain, Bangladesh, Saudi Arabia, of course, Saudi Arabia, now, and Pakistan, Pakistanis have nukes over there, and being a member of this, they could use those nukes to advantage, or we're in the Middle East, or even the United States, for that matter. But every Arab nation, Islamic Arab nation, with the exception of Iran at the moment, is in this list. It's just, I mean, look at that. It's just amazing. And, coming under the guise of, well, we're going to combat terrorism in the Islamic countries. So nobody kind of said anything about it worldwide, but this is a problem. Now, Jared Kushner and Mohammed bin Salman are thick as thieves. There's a video that you can watch. Slide 53 is a link to that.
And doesn't Jared, isn't he the one that really owns, operates that 666 park? I say that hotel in New York City.
On Fifth Avenue. Fifth Avenue. Yeah, right. I think that their family sold that, but yeah, they did have that.
Okay.
All right. And you watch this video of him. If you click on the picture there and slide 53, I took some snaps of him talking. He says, you'll see the whole thing a lot more than I put here, but you see what wisdom, you know, this young fella has in solving the Middle East crisis as initiating a business plan, making a financial arrangement. This is how he's got the Abraham Accords people to sign that have signed, is offering a business plan and money into certain organizations, money for action, money for, you know, political structure. Yeah, there you go. And you see him there. He says, we've got to get rid of Hamas and, you know, and he says peace through prosperity, you know, using money and business plans. And the only way that it's going to work, he says, is if there's someone to guarantee the, say, with the Gaza Strip or with the Palestine-Hamas situation. He says, if he gets rid of Hamas now and puts in a civilian government over there, he needs someone to, with the clout in the region, to be sure that Hamas and Hezbollah that don't go back into the, you know, Gaza Strip or the West Bank. Well, Mohammed bin Salman and his consortium of Islamic Military Counterterrorism Coalition is such a powerful group that the whole Middle East will respect him. And, you know, Jared said, this is what needs to happen. And it's so prophetic fulfilling. I just can't believe it. I mean, you can look at slide 54 too. There's more about how these two princes, Mohammed bin Salman and Jared Kushner, the media calls him a prince, a princeling. And they have this really close relationship. Mohammed bin Salman recently put $2 billion, with a B, dollars into a fund that Jared Kushner set up to develop business in Israel. There's about $3 billion in the fund, so two-thirds of it is from Mohammed bin Salman. And Mohammed bin Salman also controls, through the investment fund, public investment fund of Saudi Arabia, he controls another $875 billion, almost $1 trillion of wealth that he controls, using it to build NEOM and other things. So, this is just,
inquiring minds want to know. Okay, so can you put that picture back up? To be a billionaire, I have to know this. Okay. There you go. Is the tablecloth on the head required to be a billionaire? Does that just help? I digress. Go ahead, sir.
It's either that or a blue fez like they wear in Turkey.
Yeah.
Nostradamus said the Antichrist, one of the beasts of this age, will wear a blue fez. Maybe it'll be young Jared.
And you've said that before, too.
And Doug wonders why he has fought was against him.
Well, don't we all? Yeah. There were so many things this morning that went wrong with my computer system before I got to air here. I was thinking that what we're going to talk about today must be so important that Satan is really, you know, screwing up the power to my computer and various other things, but we managed to beat it all. I had a bit of prayer against it, and that's it. But, you know, in the Western world here, in the Christian community of nations, we are expecting the return of Jesus, or Yeshua ben Elohim. In the Eastern Islamic nations, they are expecting the return of a Messiah called the Imam Mahdi. There are signs of his coming, you know, the rising of the sun from the west. That's in slide 43 on my show images page. There's more in slide 48 about him, who he is in the Israeli-Palestinian conflict in religious context. You have to read these things. I mean, I've been researching about the Mahdi for a week or so now. And this guy is, as I say at the moment, I think it's going to be Mohammed bin Salman in the Arab Islamic nations. But if he is the first beast and gets assassinated or, you know, comes back to life or whatever through AI images, then the next one would probably be Jared Kushner, because he's the architect of the Abraham Accords, and he and MBS are like, you know, romance brothers, you know, they call them the bromance, but they are so close. I mean, they just talk to each other all the time. Looking at this stuff, I just kind of dropped my jaw. I thought, wow, look at this. What's happened right in front of us? I've been watching it. And what have I said about it? Now, the prophet in Islam, the prophet Muhammad, wrote this about the coming Al-Mahdi. His name will be my name, and his father's name, my father's name. This aligns perfectly with Prince Mohammed bin Salman's father, Salman bin Abdulaziz, and and Prophet Muhammad's father, Abdullah ibn Abd al-Muttalib. Muttalib, I think I murdered that, but anyway. Both Muhammad and the MBS share the same name, Muhammad. His name will be my name. Fathers both have the iteration of Abdullah, his father's name, my father's name. So, you know, even in their writing, they are pointing at Muhammad bin Salman. Do you see what I'm saying? This is just...
I do, which is very disconcerting, I got to tell you. So Muhammad, by the way, happens to be the most popular boy's name, I think, 2 years running in London, UK. Okay, just as an aside. But in this context, wow. This is setting up. And you did a really fine job of setting this up to get the point across, I think. Clash of civilizations, not culture, civilizations. The Great War.
Yeah.
Okay.
All righty. Right here. Let me just back off something here. Okay. In the show images page again, I'm now going to go over to slide 52 through 54, nuclear attacks on the United States. Now, this is going to be a clear and present danger. You know, I think Iran, Russia, and China are going to attack the United States, just like the Hopi Nation told me when I was down there. And you'll see that in slide 52, it shows areas where there are targets. And if you click on the map and blow it up, you can see most of them are nuclear weapons, missile silos, but others are just, you know, major cities. And the nuclear plants, we have nearly 100 of those that are targets in that area. And if you hit one of them, even say on the western side of the country, the prevailing winds in the United States go from west to east. So it's going to throw debris and fallout stuff all across the United States should they cause it to explode by a terrorist attack here, or whether they bomb it when they're invading the country. Slide 53 says that...
Before we go from there, what's the triangle on the legend? I can't make that. The triangle, what's the meaning of that?
Target in a 500 warhead scenario. If they shoot at us with 500 warheads, this would be the targets they hit, the primary targets.
Huh.
Yeah, you got to squint, I guess, but I can see it. Target in a...
Okay.
I think it said, 500 warhead scenario. And the black, folks, is target.
I just want to remind the radio audience, please go to Rumble or Brighteon, or go to HagmanPI.com, or Standale.com, show images page for this graphic, important graphic. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, I think Holly put this in Prudent Places USA, as I recall.
She did. Okay. I can verify that.
All right. Now, slide 53, the first 30 cities out of 2,000 to be nuked in a full-scale nuclear war. Okay. If you click on that map, you then see the top 30 cities and then nuclear reactors and various other things. in this map. And it is a very detailed map. If you click on it, it gives you details of the state, the city, and wherever. If you live in any of these target areas, get out. Now, see, I live in Pueblo. If you click on Colorado there, you'll see that they're going to hit Denver and surrounding area. Now, the circle is big, but the fallout and stuff to produce that would have to be like a Zarbamba, you know, 3-megaton type bomb. And even that would not reach us where we are. It would blow it to the east. But I'm right on the edge of that target area. If you're in these target areas, then you're in the marked target for a 2,000 nuclear missile attack from China, Russia.
PSA for our listeners, yours and mine, tapping into your vast knowledge better than mine. Would it be prudent, especially in those areas, for our listeners to purchase potassium iodide tablets or iodate or what are the KI pills?
Well, sure. I mean, that's okay. If you survive and are in the fallout area. And okay. In Holly's book, Dare to Prepare, we have reproduced in that book, or she has, the FEMA document from the 50s, which the government produced to show you how to build a little fort in your house to protect you and what to use to protect you from fallout radiation for 2 weeks after a bomb blast near enough to throw debris over the top of you.
Okay.
And that's a great help there to prepare and go and look at all the nuclear war preparations. It's now very pertinent.
I'm going to tell you right now, folks, if you don't have Dare to Prepare, you're missing out. It's the most comprehensive preparation book I've ever seen. And I don't say that lightly. Dare to Prepare. Go to sandale.com and order that. Or Dare to Prepare, I believe, correct? .com?
Yes, I think it's in there too. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, we have that.
Definitely.
Florida's in trouble.
Yeah, look at that.
Yeah, for so many reasons. Now, if you look at map 54, or cell 54, nuclear attack, worst case scenario, would see 90% of Americans wiped out. If you click on that map, you'll see why. These are prevailing wind directions showing where the fallout would go after a nuclear bomb. Now, we live south of Colorado Springs, and as Holly says, if you can walk outside, you know, after the blast is over, and hopefully you haven't looked at the ball of fire because it would burn your eyeballs out, but anyway, it would blind you. But if you haven't done that and you walk out after it's over and the shockwave is finished going through your area where you are, if you see that anvil-shaped cloud coming towards you, then you can either walk away at like 6 miles an hour or whatever with your car or your luggage carriers, or, you know, your travoy or something like that.
A little rascal. Go ahead.
Yeah, and just get out from under that cloud. And in this case, in Colorado Springs here and Pueblo here, we'd probably go west because the prevailing winds go to the east. And if you're going to stay in situ, then she has there in there to prepare, you know, how to block your windows with certain things and how many inches of, you know, concrete or rock or sand you need to put around the windows if you're in a basement, that kind of stuff. And it's very important information. You can survive if you could stay under this cover or shield or, you know, shelter in your house for 2 weeks. So you'd have to have water and food and toiletries and stuff for you and your pets. But you could survive if the radiation cloud is going to drop on top of you. Otherwise, you can just pretty well be safe to go outside if there's no fallout coming your direction. But look at all those spots. I mean, the red ones are major wildfires, and then severe fallouts are the purple ones. That's another thing. How are we going to fight all the fires that start, you know, from these nuclear devices going off? Anyway, it's you can see in the legend there, the yellow is minimal fallout, no shelter required. Minor fallout, and that kind of turquoise thing is staying in 2 to 7 days in a shelter. And medium fallout is 1 to 3 weeks in a shelter. So that's what I was talking about. There's, you know, if you're in severe fallout, you're in trouble. But in these minor areas with the stuff falling on top of you, you can weather it.
What about dust afterwards? Would it be radioactive? In other words, Yeah, 2 weeks, 3 weeks hence, but you've got, I'm sure...
It'll half-life out. That's why they put about 3 weeks, because most of the dust from the fallout would be
okay.
A short, half-life.
All right.
And boy, if you just look at this, the eastern side of the United States, starting, say, at Denver and going east, is just chock-a-block with targets. You can understand why the Hopi prophecy says that Russia, China, and a Middle Eastern nation will invade America, will bomb major cities, but won't stay long, because look at all the fallout. There won't be a place for them to be safely. It's just not going to happen.
Mm.
Let's see what it's saying. Slide 54 here. Let's see. Princeton University's Program of Science and Global Security estimated that in the first 4 days after the silos were struck, between 340,000 and 4.6 million people would die. The average death toll would be about 1.4 million. They predicted that 300 million people would be at risk of a fatal dose of fallout. 300. Well, that's, 90% of America or so. Now,
well,
we're supposed to be depending.
That's with a Deagle report of population decline, in 2025. But by what, 90%? I mean, a significant percentage pursuant to the Deagle report.
So what do they know that we don't?
A good question. As an investigator, I always ask, that's a good question to ask. How did you arrive there? How do you know that if you're not directly involved in the planning or participation? So that's
if you see question. How far you watch Jared Kushner, you'll see how far ahead these guys plan things. And I know that he may be one of the two beasts in the Revelation, but I got to tell you, he's impressive with the way he presents himself and his ideas about how to solve the whole Middle East problem and then the world. Mm. So, people will marvel at the wisdom of this young fellow. You see that video I pointed you to there in slide 53.
Yep.
Wow. If you just stop for a minute and don't say, well, he's a bad guy, I don't like him, but see the video and you'll understand what I'm talking about. He is very impressive. I saw on the Fox this morning, they were talking about a couple of things of interest. One of them, one lady was telling the host there that the Federal Marshal Service, the one that put the officers on planes that are flying to protect you with a guy with a gun, they've all been removed from duty there and put down to the border because the Border Patrol is so busy checking people in and taking care of them, the housekeeping, that they now put the air marshals down there. Well, duh. How would you like to be flying right now without an air marshal on board?
What the hell? What could possibly go wrong, my friend?
Oh, gosh. I know.
Okay.
And in the same series of news articles this morning on Fox, they talked about how many rounds of ammunition that they were going to send to Ukraine and Javelin missiles and that kind of stuff.
Screw Ukraine. Okay.
Yeah. Look at.
They can kiss my ass. Okay. Zelensky's a friggin' dictator. He's a fascist. And the entirety of the government of Ukraine is nothing but a laundromat for globalist money. And you might as well throw in smuggling, human trafficking. As well, the government, not the people, but the government, and they got the majority of the Nazis over there. I mean, real live, actual Heil Hitler Nazis in the Azov Battalion and such. So people better get their heads out of their butts and understand that your Ukrainian flag, that you're virtue signaling with, well, you're an asshole. Go on, sir.
Yeah. Go to slide 49 on my show images page. Talking about Javelin missiles and things like that. It's a table of how many bullets, Javelin missiles, or whatever that we have, and how long it would take to rebuild our supply of them. And if you look at, like, the Javelin missiles that we've been given, it'd take between 5.5 to 8 years to replenish the supply at the production rate that we think we have at the moment. Inventory rebuild not possible because of U.S. training requirements. Okay. You see down those columns there that we are way behind in ammunition, that kind of stuff, and how long it takes to build it. Like for the big cannon shells that they've been using in Ukraine, you could produce about 240,000 a year if you don't have a strike or anything like that. And it takes 5 years to build up our supply, and probably longer than that. We'd be giving it all over to Ukraine. People just don't realize you don't push a button and suddenly, you know, munitions roll out the door. It's not that way. Stinger missiles, it takes 18 years to rebuild the stock of those. So
I know. We Eric, the tech and I, we got a crate saw on back order, and we ordered that back in 2015, for crying out loud.
Oh, yeah. <It's, laughs> Now, I'm not trying to plug another show.
Go ahead and plug. Plug to your heart's content.
Well, slide 50 is when I'm on Larry and Sandy Ragland's show. It's just Larry Ragland. You can see it. Slide 51. You can visit the site. But I have a link to a section. At slide 50. Yeah, the United States has only 1.2 million soldiers, a third of which are out of the United States. So we don't have a lot of homegrown troops here. If you click on slide 50 in the link of it, oh dear, it won't let us go. It says they secure. Well, if you go to the Kingdom Intelligence Report there, oh, did you see, where did that, did you click on the link or what?
Yes, clicked on the link.
Mine says secure connection failed. It must be some kind of a thing in my browser that's saying you can't look at it. Well, anyway, if you slide down that page a bit, I'll let you keep going.
No.
Okay, right there, right there.
This
right
is there. Larry Ragland's show, or no?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. And if you click on that, we won't do it now, but it's about a 10 or 12 minute thing where I tell about the invasion of the United States that the Hopi told me about, and you'll see that it just falls right into line. So click on that link then and watch that short video clip when you get time. I mean, even Dmitry Dudeman says that Russia will destroy America, and that's just Russia, not including China and Iran now. And you can see that prophetic vision in slide 47. Just trying to get all those to you there. Okay. On current events, slide 55. If you click on the picture in slide 55, it'll take you to a montage of pictures from Iceland where the threat of the volcanic eruption is occurring in Reykjavik. I probably murdered the pronunciation that I'm not Icelandic, but if you just... scroll down the page a bit. You can see where you're looking at. There's underneath Iceland, and those little purple and red dots there are earthquakes underneath the volcano about to erupt there on the coast. Slide down to the next part of it. And this is a close-up of all those earthquakes underneath the area where that volcano is probably going to really wipe out the town nearby. And then slide down just a bit further, and you'll see there's a link down there to go to live from Iceland. There are live TV cameras on all these places, so you can go there and check. And to get there, you will click on the text in slide 55. Slide 55, yes. Yeah. Yep. Click on the text, and that should take you to the live cams. And at the moment, I don't see any of them that are showing an eruption or magma flow, but it's a place to watch over the next few days. There's going to be a huge, huge eruption. And it'll probably fizzle out and just throw magma everywhere like it normally does instead of big clouds, but who knows? Anyway, that's to keep up with the news.
Would you expect this, given the activity there, obviously, again, sooner rather than later? I mean, this is kind of, well... soon, given that cluster of circles and dots and the depth and such. My goodness.
Yeah. Well, just so you can keep abreast of things. Now, let's take a look at the solar wind forecast for what's going to be hitting the Earth. Slide 57. And click on the picture. It's a GIF, an animated GIF. And this will show you the top left of it, what day it's on. It goes from the 18th through to the 25th, 6th, 7th. Okay. And you'll see there at the top, the little yellow dot on the right, that's the Earth. And these spiraling arms show you the field density and the speed of the solar wind coming at us. The reddish yellow stuff is when it's going to be, you know, pretty nasty passing Earth. This affects our magnetic field and produces geomagnetic storms. And it's just telling us that the Earth is about to get slapped with a bunch of stuff coming from the sun. We know from looking at the sun, going back to image, where did I put him? Oh, I took it off. Well, the sun is acting up a lot. We've got about three major sunspot groups on the northwest, or in solar terms, northeast. But the upper left in the pictures of the sun, if you go to Solar Dynamic, let me see, SDO, let me just put that in here and see if I can get to SDO. Right, I'm going to tell you this, just give me a second here. The Solar Dynamic Observatory from NASA, that's SDO.GSF. In fact, no, I can't share screen, I'll just have to tell you. Oh, you've got it, okay, you've got it. Now click on the more images there to the left underneath that picture. Okay, yeah. And now then click on the upper right there, that one there. Click on data links, 48-hour video under that 303. Yeah, okay, click on that. And that's going to give you a 48-hour summary of what's happening in the sun. Now look at the upper left of the picture. This is a group that's going to, of sunspots and flares and perhaps coronal mass ejections. It's going to give us a near halo event, but it'll clip us. But look at how active the left side of the sun is coming around to us in the next 5 days. This is extraordinary. And these things go out several hundred thousand miles, and some of them, when they make these huge flares and eruptions, can go out several million miles. This is telling us that we're going to be threatened by it. Now, just at the lower part of the upper left there, where you have those three groups of sunspots, it's coming around toward the Earth, but it'll be the bottom section of that, which will just clip the Earth if it emits some kind of a coronal mass ejection. There are not any of them that look like they're directly aimed at Earth with what produced like a Carrington event thing. We could be surprised, but at this point, I think it's just going to make a coronal mass ejection that will clip us. The bottom part of it, or the top part of either one, will clip us. You can just see the activity there in that image. Okay, and
that's why you need an EMP shield.
Oh, yeah. Now, while you're still there, click down to at the very bottom of that page where it shows the heliographic event Earth view, the green thing. Go back to the SDO there, Eric, and look at the very bottom of the page where it has a scroll on down. Okay. Now, this is showing two-thirds of the Earth, of the sun's surface, way down, further, all the way to the bottom. Okay, keep going. A little bit further. There, a little bit dark there. Now, that green thing is showing you the white spots are the very active regions of the sun that are moving from left to right across the screen. Now, we can't see all the backside of the sun because that particular satellite failed many years ago. But what this does tell us that those white blobs are moving towards zero longitude, which is in the middle there, it'd be directly facing Earth. You can see that we're going to have a very active next 5 to 8 days. Going to be very active. And, okay, we can go back now then to where we were, but to the show image page or whatever. Yeah, in fact, if it's on show images page, I didn't think I had it in there. I did. You can click on slide 40 on the heliograph. And slide 40, I changed the contrast so you can see more of where the bad white spots are. As I say, moving from the left to the right toward us. Here you go. It's a bigger picture, too. Yeah. Okay. All right. Oh, did you guys see where some whistleblowers inside the FBI said that their members, you know, agents in the FBI, were being targeted by the upper management of the FBI? If they were veterans or former military members, they're pushing them out. They're trying to get them to have early retirement and get out because they don't want any of these MAGA-type people or potential MAGA-type people.
There you go. Mean that's right there? Yes.
Yeah, that's the one. Yeah, yeah.
Yes. Now, obviously, one has to wonder why, and I don't think it's much of a leap to, at least in my view, obviously. Well, go on, sir. I don't want to say the obvious, but go ahead.
Well, they were hitting people that were in the Marine Corps and other military branches and trying to get them out of the FBI. I mean, these are the kind of people we want there that would be fair and balanced, you know. But anyway, they say they're disloyal to the United States because they fit the profile of a supporter of former President Donald Trump. Now, isn't that incredible? I mean, we are so, so much in trouble.
What was that, SNL, Saturday Night Live? We are so screwed.
That's it.
I'm not sure if it was at SNL or some other show, but yeah. Yeah. Okay. I mean, now, on that, too, when you think about it, and really, this kind of makes my head hurt. How can one regime so quickly and really, to their credit, efficiently target so many of us? And by us, I'm talking about constitutionalists, conservative Christians, so effectively, so efficiently, and so quickly. That had to be in place, obviously, for quite some time, that objective and the mechanics of the targeting. Go ahead.
Look, you can look at all those current events that we're talking about, and today especially, but through the last few months, and you can see the hand, an unseen hand, manipulating the chessboard of the world. And the mind that does this is mighty. Okay, it's Satan, and he's moving his minions. He's been moving pieces into place for a generation or two at least to form the current world situation. And when you look at the United States, for instance, we are under attack in so many different areas that even, you know, if you had President Trump come back into office, where would he start? And how would he get it done with the resistance in all the civil service places, you know, positions? There's just kind of no way to reverse all this. By the way, the background shot here is what President Trump had in the Oval Office in his time there. I use that as a backdrop sometimes because I like to think that he would be there. But even if he were there, I just don't think we could reverse what has started. And we have to remember, or we should remember, that we're going to see like an alien disclosure, official disclosure, probably not until a nuclear bomb wipes out Damascus, which is very likely in the next few weeks or months. The Iranians and the Hezbollah, and the Hamas proxies are pushing on Israel so hard that Israel is going to be forced into a corner with their back to the wall, and to stop the missile attack from Iranian proxies in Syria, in Damascus, they are probably going to be forced to nuke Damascus if we don't do it from our ships there in the Mediterranean. Big Satan, little Satan, whatever we are, they're going to be in an attack, a nuclear attack in the Middle East on Damascus. Now, this will panic the whole world because that signals the begin of a nuclear war worldwide. At that time would be the most appropriate time for the presence of aliens coming, posing as angels or messengers of light and love and harmony, and to get rid of all the bad ETs that have been here, and to get rid of the Illuminati that have ruined the planet. They're going to appear on the scene, come down with technology, and support the first beast, the Antichrist of the time, with technology, and you know, to form the new world order. To that end, of course, we look at blockchain, which is a heavy investment by Mohammed bin Salman, and really favored by Jared Kushner, his partner in crime over there. This is why I think I was having trouble getting this to air today, to warn people who watch this now and later, perhaps even after the rapture, that this is the game plan. This is who's doing it, and do not be fooled by the New World Order when it's set up with alien help, quote-unquote alien, you know, Satan's fallen ones from the heavens. I can't stress enough to be careful if you're alive during the time when they start to number you so that you can't buy or sell without a number because they're on a digital system. Do not take it, because you would have to swear allegiance to the leader of the world at that time. And he will be a very powerful and probably Islamic leader, because the Bible says that during that tribulation period, the Antichrist at that time will behead Christians and Jews that he finds. So in your prayers, pray for the 144,000 of the 12 tribes of Israel that will be sealed and become like Jewish Billy Grahams all over the world during the tribulation period. So protect not only Israel, the land, but protect the nation of Israel, wherever they are, the Hebrews, wherever they are, even not in the country. Anyway, boy. Yeah. Okay. Let's see. I wanted to say something about here. Let's see. How much time we got left?
We've got about 8 minutes.
Oh, okay. Good. Slides 41, 42 are about the soul and what it looks like when it leaves the body. Dr. Raymond Moody wrote a book, Life After Life, and he covered a number of cases where they were bona fide witnesses to someone dying when they saw something leave the body, like a misty cloud with waves in it, ripples, came up from the body and sort of in the shape of the body and then disappeared. Now, you might think, okay, well, that's the case. Maybe it sells books or whatever, but I had a guest, my dad had a guest in his home and exchanged it from Thailand, from Bangkok, Chow Rojanasong, who's now Dr. Rojanasong at the university over there in Thailand. His father was a medical doctor, and his father and another doctor performed an experiment to try to weigh the soul when, you know, when it left the body of a dying person. To that end, they paid the family of a beggar who was, you know, in ill health and about to die to let them put him in a glass coffin, if you wish, glass cage. They weighed, had it sitting on the scales, very sensitive, and they had it in a room where there were no drafts or anything else. They were going to try to weigh a very minute change in the weight of this body when the soul left it. Now, across the river from his office, you can see through the window, was an old battleground where thousands of soldiers were killed in battle ages ago. And the locals say their spirits still haunt that area. You'll see them at night as colored balls of light popping up out of the ground and moving around and then disappearing in the daylight. While he was watching this man die, as the man breathed his last breath, heart stopped, and they were waiting for the change in the weight of the scale there, a ball of light, white light, popped out of this guy's chest inside the glass cage, bounced around inside the cage for a couple of seconds, and then the cage broke, fractured, exploded, and the ball of light was gone. After that, the doctor, whether superstition or whatever else, or wisdom, said, that's it, we're not doing this experiment anymore, and told his son about it and a couple other people and didn't publish the paper on it. The Moody book talks about similar things. Now, it doesn't happen in every case. Apparently, you don't see it in every case of a person dying. It's just, you know, white light or this glowing cloud that has ripples in it. Doesn't always appear. I think, however, you know, from other articles that we've put up on the website, there was one about where as this, the picture here recently photographed, as a sperm hit the egg and fertilized it, at that instant, a glow of light appeared around the, well, what would become an embryo, but around the cell that was just impregnated. This glow of light then suddenly surrounds the whole cell, which then becomes an embryo. Now, at the time of death, and you're leaving, the light leaves the body. It's almost like the soul enters at the moment of conception and then leaves when you die, which is an interesting argument for for abortions and things against abortion, because they're trying to say it's 15 weeks, you can't feel, but at ground zero, when the sperm hit the egg, then the light of the soul is there. So, I don't know. It probably won't make any difference in the politics of all this, because they won't listen to what I'm saying anyway, but just thought it was an interesting observation.
Well, yeah. Politics aside, you know, you've got... I'm more inclined to, to believe all of that, because what other explanation is there, at least in my view, at the time of conception, at the time of death? This all makes sense to me. I mean, it does, but, and frankly, I wouldn't be interested in arguing, because this is a matter of faith, I would not be interested in arguing otherwise. Especially on the political front. Go ahead.
Yeah, I know. It's just for those of us that are believers that it really reinforces your belief system. On the Middle East and the alien, quote-unquote, alien invasion here, if you go to my show notes page down toward about the middle of it, you'll see View the Middle Eastern Mysteries in Saudi Arabia and Other Countries. It's in a big box all by itself. And you click on that, it'll take you over to a number of Google Earth photos that I've shared with you before, but I'll just bring it up again because I want you to see slide 94 when you get to that and the Saudi mysteries below. And if you can get to that, click on the image.
What image is that, sir?
94.
What's before that?
Oh, actually, you'll see, scroll down the page, past Syrian, past Israeli mysteries, and down to Saudi mysteries below, and then to slide 94 there.
All right. Working on that right now.
All right. And if you click that slide, it'll bring up a picture of where the alien base was that... we knew about inside the Teller Project. It was 120 miles from the base to a location of another base on the Jabal Tuwaik ridge just south of Riyadh in Saudi Arabia. We got to put that base with humans and quote-unquote aliens there in the Riyadh province. Can you find that image yet there?
No, we can't.
Are you on the in the show images page? Do you see about the middle of the page where it says View Middle Eastern Mysteries?
94.
Yeah, 94, which is down just a little way. The Saudi mysteries below. There you go. Right. Okay. In that image on the left there, that white circle with orange around it. That's located in the Riyadh province. Riyadh, the city, is in the upper right, further, about 125 miles away or so. And this is where our Teller Project, we had a joint base with aliens, fallen ones, and humans. It was so secure there that if you went there in any manner or tried to get there by air or by land, you would be killed before you even got within photographic distance. There was just no excuse for anybody going there. It was our most secret base there in Saudi Arabia, which means that we have a foothold there.
Oh, man, we're out of time. I can't believe this. I was so engrossed in this, Stan. I apologize. We're out of time.
Brother. That's all right. Sorry. Okay, well, next time.
But image 94, folks, that's where we left off. Go there, standeo.com. Also, support Stan by way of his Patreon. Please do that. Excellent work. Thank you, Stan.
All righty. Goodbye. Lord bless you all now.